VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thanks for joining us on Crosstalk today, coming your way from the VCY America Network. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times have you witnessed, or should I say not witnessed, for fear that you might fail or say something wrong that others would call you a fool? Oh, you might receive some harassment or some ridicule from a close circle of individuals, or perhaps be made fun of at a company event. But what do you do when the world's most famous atheist mocks you internationally on television and all over social media? What consolation do you find when you become known worldwide as atheist celebrity idiot? Well, that's exactly what happened to our guest today, and he's going to tell you the story that will bring your fears into perspective and give you confidence as you share the truth of God's Word. Today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Ray Comfort. He's the founder and CEO of Living Waters, the best-selling author of more than 80 books like Hell's Best-Kept Secret, A Scientific Facts in the Bible, The Evidence Bible, and others. He co-hosts the television program The Way of the Master. He's also executive producer on multiple films, Audacity, 180, Evolution versus God, The Atheist Delusion. We've interviewed him on all these here on Crosstalk, Know in the Last Days, and others. These have been seen by millions all across the planet, and he has recently produced a brand new film called The Fool. Ray, welcome to Crosstalk.
Thank you for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
Ray, nobody wants to be thought of as a fool, yet you named your brand new movie The Fool. Tell us why. I mean, it seems to contradict, you know, building up confidence in an individual to be known as a fool.
It's all about me. It's easy to call it The Fool. For years, I did a parody, I ridiculed atheism by holding up a Coke can when I was preaching. I did it both to non-Christians in open-air preaching and in seminars I used to do on atheism. And I'd say of the Coke can, billions of years ago, there was a big explosion in space. No one knows what caused the explosion. It just happened. And from the explosion came a big rock, and on the rock was found a sweet, bubbly substance. And over millions of years, aluminum crept up the side, formed itself into a can, then a lid, and then a tab. And then rampate fell from the sky and formed itself into the words Coca-Cola, 12 fluid ounces. You'd say, what are you doing? You're insulting my intellect, because you know the Coca-Cola can is made, and if it's made, it must have a maker. Mm-hmm. If it's designed, there must be a designer. Then I'd pull out a banana and say, behold the atheist's nightmare, and say, just like the Coke can has a tab at the top for ease of entry, it has perforations on the wrapper, and the wrapper's biodegradable. There's outward indicators of inward contents, green too early, yellow just right, black too late. It's just the right shape for the human mouth. It's palatable, good for you, chewy. And it's even curved toward the face to make the whole process so much easier. And it was just a fun thing I did to parody atheism and show how dumb it is to believe that nothing created everything. It's a million times worse than believing a Coca-Cola can made itself from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for about 20 years in these seminars and open-air preaching. And one day I decided to put it in our television program. Kirk Cameron and I were doing a program on atheism, and he used to be an atheist. And I said, hey, Kirk, let's put that banana thing in. He said, oh, no, atheists will mock you for it. I said, look, this is Christian television. Atheists won't even see it. And so he was very gracious, and we did it. And it was fell a bit flat because there's no audience laughter, but it was just something, you know, mm-hmm. we did. And about 3 or 4 years later, someone said to me, you're all over the Internet. I said, what are you talking about, all over the Internet? And someone had, I don't know who it was, but they'd taken the television program, thrown away the Coke can, and just had me saying that the banana was proof for God's existence, and it made me look like an absolute idiot. It was just crazy. And I thought, well, this is just another bump in the road, and so it was until Richard Dawkins got hold of the thing and started doing the parody on international television and on in multiple universities and on social media and YouTube. And so I instantly became internationally known as the celebrity atheist idiot. And so for about 10 years, I kept it away from Christians.
And you also became known as Banana Man.
Yes, he christened me Banana Man. He kept saying, you know, Ray Comfort, the Banana Man. And so I kept it quiet because I was humiliated because, you know, atheists would go past me in public and yell out, hey, there's Banana Man, and point at me. And, you know, Apple Man's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grape Man is not funny. Orange Man is not funny. But Banana Man is. I don't know why. Maybe something to do with slapstick humor or something. So anyway, I kept this sort of secret from Christians. But something incredible happened over those years. Atheists would ask me onto their television programs and their blogs and interview me. Because this was old, dumb old Banana Man. And when they started interviewing me, they were surprised that I could string a whole sentence together. Mm-hmm. And they'd let me stay for a whole hour. And they'd let me, because I was the clown, they'd let me juggle and even, you know, breathe a little fire and preach the gospel. And so I got to preach the gospel, not hundreds of thousands, but literally millions of atheists all around the world because of the Banana Man suit. It was like a mantle that I put on that made me look like a fool, but it got me access, kind of like Superman. He could fly anywhere, and mm-hmm. the only kryptonite I needed was to stay humble of heart, and it was easy to do that while I had to wear that Banana Man mantle. And one day, a friend of mine, Scotty, when we were going to open air preach, says, you know, because he knew how humiliated I felt, everything I did they would examine and just make a fool of me. He said, you know, you shouldn't run from this. You should run to it because you've got a platform no one else has got. So I thought, you know, he's right. So I heard that the president of American Atheists was in Los Angeles. So I said, I sent him an email. I sent the American Atheist an email. Says, want to have lunch? And he did. He wanted to have lunch with Banana Man. So I spent 90 minutes having lunch with the president of American Atheists. We became friends, and it also got me access to people like Professor Lawrence Krauss and Penn Jillette, high-profile atheists mm-hmm. who kind of like Banana Man, dumb old Banana Man, and they'd listen to me and let me speak. So it's a wonderful story how God takes that which is negative and makes it positive. And I like to liken it to Joseph. Things were going good, and then rejected by his brothers, down a well, sold into slavery, and then in prison as a sexual predator. And yet God brought good out of it, and that gives God glory. So we're delighted to have this film out there. It's a very exciting film, and we're offering atheists a discount to watch it. And we're over 20 atheists have downloaded it, paid to download it, which is just wonderful. And I got interviewed by a high-profile atheist just this morning for an hour.
Wow.
She has 719,000 followers, and it was a wonderful interview. She was real nice to me and let me share a whole lot of thoughts for an hour. So Banana Man lives on. I guess I'll hold this mantle until the Lord takes me home.
Ray, did Richard Dawkins ever fully realize that that had been edited from the Coke can illustration? I mean, or was this done in such a way just to make sure that that was erased in order to make fun of you?
No, atheists really do think I'm dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're surprised when I can say a whole sentence, because they don't know the Coke can was removed. It's kind of like telling a joke and removing the punchline from the end.
Yeah.
It made no sense at all. But now that the fool is out there, it tells the whole incredible story of how, you know, I was interviewing Lawrence Krauss, Professor Lawrence Krauss. Other Christians don't have access to him, but he let me interview him because I'm Banana Man. And we're in a hotel room in Washington, D.C., and Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller shows up, and he's a very high-profile atheist, and he watched the interview. It was a very interesting interview. There were four camera crews, four sets of lights, four cameras, and an electric atmosphere, and I did a 10-minute interview of Lawrence Krauss, and then Penn Jillette yells out, is that it? No, there's got to be more. And so Lawrence Krauss interviewed me as to why I'm a Christian.
And just to set the stage, Ray, you were limited as to how many questions you could ask of him. And so you would love to have gone further, but there was limits even for the agreements for that interview to be conducted.
Mm-hmm. Four questions, and I wasn't to say anything. It was just crazy. It took about freedom of speech. But I wanted to get him in our movie because he's so high profile, so I thought that was worth it. But something funny happened at the end of the interview. Penn Jillette wouldn't come and sit with me and be interviewed, even though the cameras were rolling. I just wanted to speak to him. But as I was leaving, I said goodbye, and I said, no, goodbye comes from God be with you. And Penn Jillette says, no, it doesn't. I said, yes, it does. He said, no, it doesn't. So Lawrence Krauss checked the etymology on us. Phone and says, uh-oh. He says, yeah, goodbye, Old English, God be with you. So I had the wonderful experience of having all these atheists say, you're right, and we were wrong. And it was a great experience.
And that's all captured on The Fool, on this video.
Yes, it's just it's inspiring and encouraging. And I went downstairs, and Penn Jillette followed me down and began asking me questions about God, and I was able to share the gospel with him, and it was an amazing experience. It was very respectful and kind, and I've made so many friends because of the Banana Man mantle, so praise the Lord for it.
What was his reaction, Ray, of Penn Jillette when you shared the gospel with him? What was his facial expression, which we don't see on the video?
He was very respectful, especially when I thanked him for a video that he made. There's a very famous video out there that he was given a Bible by a businessman in Las Vegas, and he just kept raving about how this guy was so genuine and honest and true, and then he said he just wanted to warn me about my eternity. And he said, how much do you have to hate someone to believe in hell and not warn them? He says, if a truck was heading for you and you didn't listen to me warn you, the time would come when I would pull you out of the way. And I said to Penn, I thank you for that video, and I was able to thank him for it, and then say, I'm tackling you now because the truck's heading for you. And something incredible happened, and it was a wonderful experience witnessing to him, sharing the gospel with him. He talked about it on his radio program a couple of days later. He talked about it in a magazine and said how I was sincere and genuine. Just great things for someone to say about when you're a Christian. But then I got a letter from an email from his manager saying, if we put that interview, the 10-minute interview, into the movie, they'd sue us. And so when you watch it, you hear the whole story, but you don't see Penn's face or hear his voice.
Right, right.
My lawyer said we had the right to put it in there because it was public domain on a sidewalk, but we wanted to respect his desires. But, you know, he's on the internet pleading with someone, give me evidence for God's existence. I gave him scientific evidence. Mm-hmm. He's a libertarian, so it's very strange that he doesn't want it out there. So it's an interesting thought.
Ray, when you were the constant subject and still are mocked, ridiculed, just incessantly by atheists and by skeptics, what were your internal feelings? I mean, did you feel like a failure? You somehow let down the Lord by having these things come against you?
No, not at all. I reacted as a normal human being. None of us like rejection, especially being called a fool.
Right.
I'd rather be called a fool much more than a hypocrite. So I know that I'm genuine of faith, and Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. And then he said an amazing thing that most Christians miss. He said, this is in Luke 6, leap for joy, for so persecuted are they the prophets that were before you. So when I would have horrible things happen to me as a Christian, and I remember once some Christian guy was just saying terrible things about me that were totally untrue, I was a little down about it, so I came out to my office, shut the door, and I leapt for joy. And I don't get off. I'm in a little. I got about 6 inches off the ground, which is half my height. And it just made me laugh that I was leaping for joy. As I came down, there was a knock on the door, and someone says, a donation has just been given to the ministry, $20,000. And I thought, man, I wish I leapt higher. It's part of being a Christian. If you stand up for Christ, you're going to be seen as a fool.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it, and it's good for our character. And if we deal with it, you know, patiently and show love and respect to those that are mocking us, God honors us, and we've seen that with this movie.
Ray Comfort is our guest here today on Crosstalk, founder and CEO of Living Waters. And we're going to take a quick break. Following the break, we're going to share just a brief trailer of some of the expressions and statements made by those who have seen this film. And then we'll also tell you how you can obtain a copy of The Fool. So be ready to jot down some information, and we'll delve further into it as well. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, over the years, we've read a lot from science about amber. Has DNA ever been recovered from it?
Chris, there are fragments of DNA found in amber, but it's well known that DNA decomposes in such a short period of time that even in thousands of years, you'd not expect to find much DNA left. But now an even more remarkable thing has been found that has thrown evolution into a tizzy. Entombed within the bodies of insects fossilized in amber are ancient bacteria which scientists have been able to revive. They've actually come back to life. Over 3,500 types of microorganisms have been rejuvenated. Chris, how can this be? This amber is thought to be millions and millions of years old, but how could things still be alive after all that time? Chris, I think it's the evolutionary story and the story of millions of years which is wrong. The Back to Genesis view makes a whole lot more sense.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Ray Comfort, our guest today from Living Waters, and has put together a powerful, powerful videos. Many of you have seen them that we've offered them. Audacity and 180, Evolution versus God, The Atheist Illusion, and many others. Just releasing now The Fool. And here's just a bit of clips here regarding this video, Fool.
I have never so intently focused on the exhortation of an atheist.
It was a beautiful film, absolutely beautiful, very encouraging.
Absolutely an amazing film.
It's powerful.
Like, leave you so inspired.
I thought it was an amazing film.
I thought it was excellent.
I think it was absolutely amazing.
My favorite scene is when we got to see who the man was that gave Penn the Bible.
Ray, people have been impacted by seeing The Fool.
Yeah, it's it can bring you to tears in places because of the little twists that come at the end. Mm-hmm. Things that really glorify God because they couldn't have been instigated by any human mind. So it's a thrilling story, and it's great for non-Christians to see how God is alive and well and working in the hearts of those that trust him.
Now, Ray, I've got more to talk about the film itself, but let's get word out. How are listeners today? How can they watch this film? I know it's not available on DVD yet. How can they see it?
They can go to bananamanstory.com, bananamanstory.com. It gives you details.
Okay. And if they download it, you've got some other items available as well?
Yeah, there's another video there. It's 30 minutes. It's called The Angry Atheist, and it's just amazing. This atheist went berserk at me in public, and he asked a whole stack of questions and was able to address them. And also got on there how to share the gospel with two witches that I got to speak with, and that's also very fascinating. And there's also a 100-page downloadable book on the life of Joseph and how to encourage yourself in your faith, plus a study that goes with The Angry Atheist, how to answer questions like why is there suffering and hypocrites in the church and things like that to give you answers to questions that are often asked.
Again, folks, all the details at BananaManStory.com, BananaManStory.com, and Ray, right now it's only available for download purposes, correct?
That's right. We'll release it on YouTube in 6 months' time. Our YouTube channel has got just under 58 million views. We're so blown away that that each day, literally thousands of people are watching our video clips. We put out new videos each day, so when people subscribe to our channel, they get two clips per day. And they're just fascinating, and seeing atheists fall away from their faith, they backslide and become believers just because of very simple biblical principles. So if people go to YouTube and just type in Living Waters, you can check out our free, many free videos.
Great. And for those who download it as well, they're actually assisting in the work of your ministry to help you produce other programs just like this.
Yeah, it costs money to make videos and produce movies, and so when Christians download before it's released, that so helps us just have the liquidity to keep our studios going, cameras, and pay our staff. So we're very grateful when people download it earlier.
BananaManStory.com. Ray, tell us about Thunderfoot. I mean, you actually had a complete debate with him.
Yeah, another weird thing that happened was that atheists, high-profile atheists, wanted to debate me, and I thought, this is just crazy. I'm a clown, I'm an idiot, I'm banana man, I can't hold a whole sentence, and yet they want to travel over and do a debate. And a guy named Thunderfoot, who was extremely high-profile atheist, our YouTube channel's got, I think, 58 million views. He's on 160 million views, very intelligent, very likable. And so he asked if he could debate me. So he came to our ministry, and we did a debate, and it went well, but he got mocked by other atheists because he started quite a bit and he didn't have his act together, and he stayed for lunch, and about a year later he comes back for another debate, and it was wonderful. He stayed for lunch again, and I was able to show him love and kindness, and I've got a friend in Thunderfoot. So pray for that guy that he'll come to faith. These people are just blind sinners that have found that their egos get fed when they're atheists. And atheism is a wonderful thing for guilty sinners because it opens up the door to delirious sexual pleasures without qualms of conscience. So there's no God, there's no right or wrong. Adultery is okay, fornication, blasphemy, pornography, homosexuality. Anything goes if you're an atheist because there's no moral accountability. And we know that's not true, and that every idle word a person speaks is going to give an account thereof on the day of judgment, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and every time someone sins, they store up his wrath. And I've often said if hell didn't exist, neither would our ministry. And our concern is for the eternal welfare of all these people that are blinded by atheism, and we just want them to come to Christ.
Right.
I was talking to this atheist this morning, if I may say it, and I said to her about the crazy-sounding Bible stories, and I said to her, you know, I'm not asking you to swallow these crazy-sounding Bible stories. All I'm asking you to do is swallow your pride and obey the gospel.
Wow.
And so, and that's all it is. Well, I don't want to get in arguments with them about if Noah built an ark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's not, they're non-issues. What happens is they could die tonight, and they're damned if God gives them justice. And there's a tremendous urgency to get into the heart of the matter, and the heart of the matter is the gospel.
Ray, I was on an atheist website earlier today, and they were promoting Christina Rad, who they called a prolific Romanian atheist vlogger. And it said this, Rad gained attention for her response to Ray Comfort's version of Darwin's Origin of Species. On September 19th, 2009, Rad posted a video on YouTube titled Origin of Stupidity that received over 1 million views. And Ray, as I saw this, it said, you are definitely a target in all of this by these atheist vloggers.
Yeah, same with Jacqueline Glenn, who's got 700 and something thousand followers. It was her video railing on me and calling me an idiot banana man that Richard Dawkins saw and reposted and got her on her journey of fame. And so, yeah, banana man is a stepping stool for many high-profile atheists. There's another video out there by that lady, Rad. She got sexually harassed by another high-profile atheist, so it looks like all the wolves are turning on themselves and devouring each other, which is kind of good and bad. I just want them to come to Christ.
Yeah,
there's a mess out there.
And that's what's important, is that by being called Banana Man and making fun of you, this has actually given you a platform you otherwise would not have had.
Yes, and that's what Lawrence Krauss said. He said, I've referred to you in my lectures, university lectures, because what I said was so dumb it was worthy of being held up as this is what some people believe. And Richard Dawkins kept using it as an example. So when I picked up a banana in a Coke can 20 or 30 years ago, I had no idea that this would happen. And I wouldn't change a thing now that we've come through to the other side.
Folks,
sure, Joseph felt the same when he was sitting on a throne next to Pharaoh.
Yeah, well, the things meant for evil for Joseph, but God meant it for good. And certainly you have another perspective on that lesson from Genesis. Ray, there is, by the way, folks, we're talking with Ray Comfort today, and just newly released, called The Fool. It's available right now by download, and you can go to bananamanstory.com to do that. Ray, there is another term that came up on The Fool in which you are called a bibliophile. Tell us about that.
Okay. Banana Man was beginning to be laid to rest when some lady on my Facebook page called me a bibliophile, and I'd never heard of the word, and even our staff hadn't heard of it, and I didn't realize that. See, I've been a retard, as someone who follows me, they're retarded and they're a retard. They made up words, and I thought this lady had made up a word, bibliophile, a sort of like pedophile Bible believer, and I says, hey, don't use that word, and it's an insult, and please stop it. And she wrote back, and she says, oh, I'm so sorry to insult you. It just means a lover of books. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. You know, I'm still learning. Thanks for, I said, I should be apologizing to you. And Richard Dawkins saw it, and suddenly he sends out a tweet to his hundreds of thousands of followers saying, Banana Man thinks bibliophile is a pedophile, or something like that. And then Ricky Gervais, I can't remember his pronunciation for his last name, he's a comedian, an atheist comedian who's got 10 million followers, retweets Richard Dawkins' tweet saying, Banana Man, Ray Comfort's an idiot. He thought bibliophile meant pedophile. And so the whole atheist headlines appeared, the Banana Man does it again, he's an idiot, and da-da-da-da, he needs to be educated, and it just put the whole thing on steroids. And that's when I started getting a little bit down about it, because there was no stopping, it was like a wildfire. And that's when my friend said to me, why don't you run with this, instead of running from it, and it's been great.
That's okay, Ray, they didn't know what goodbye meant.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, for those that are listening today, there's encounters with atheists, maybe in the matter of course, on an airline flight or in the workplace. How does one effectively engage in conversation to open the door to witnessing to an atheist?
Well, all you need to do is say, do you think there's an afterlife? And when they say no, say, well, why not? You know, an atheist is not an intelligent person. We tend to put them on a pedestal and say, oh, they're going to be intelligent. No, the Bible calls them a fool, and we're foolish not to believe they're fools. An atheist is someone who believes that nothing created everything. That's a scientific impossibility. Absolutely impossible for nothing to create everything. And so you're talking to someone who's not using their God-given brain, and so it's important to move away from their place of contention, that carnal mind, and speak to the conscience. That's what Jesus did, and that's what I do. And also, we put a movie out called The Atheist Delusion, which gives scientific evidence for God's existence, and often I give that. It's very easy to give to professing atheists, and I've seen them backslide as soon as they begin to think about what I'm saying. It's in regard to DNA. It's a very interesting way to show an atheist that God indeed does exist, and you do it scientifically.
How do you believe this movie, The Fool, is going to encourage Christians today?
I think it shows you that this is part and parcel of being a Christian, to wear the mantle of being persecuted for Christ, and to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And so every one of us are going through trials. I'm writing a book called Trampled to Death by Ducks. And the title's kind of funny because, I mean, we can understand being trampled to death by an elephant, but by ducks, there'd have to be a lot of them that have to get you down and suffocate you with their feet. And life is kind of like that. It's trial after trial after car breaks down. There's cockroaches in your pantry. There's all sorts of things going wrong. You're bitten by fleas. Aunt Alice is sick. You know, I've got financial bills aren't paid. Got to go to the dentist and blah, blah, blah. Every day there's something. And you've got to realize that God's in control, and he allows things by his permissive will. And this is what the fool does. You think, boy, God allowed that for a reason. It comes back around. And so whatever you're going through now, rejoice in it, because all things are working together for good, because you're called of God and according to his purposes. And I think that's what the fool does. It brings you out the other end saying, wow, God certainly was in control of this, and he's in control of my life.
Again, folks, what others have meant for evil, God planned for good. And just being dubbed Banana Man and going through the ridicule and all else, it has given Ray a platform that otherwise he would not have to present the gospel and to meet with atheists, to be interviewed by atheists, but an opportunity to share the gospel. We're going to open our phone lines right now here on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829, giving you opportunity to speak with Ray if you have a question here as it relates to personal witness and outreach. You have a question here about the fool ministering to atheists as well. Our number here, 800-733-9829. We welcome your calls, and get online here right away. And again, to learn how you can download this, you can go to bananamanstory.com, bananamanstory.com. So we'll take your calls after the break. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trowel. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ray Comfort is our guest today. We're discussing the newly released The Fool, which is available right now by download. It'll be available on YouTube another 6 months from now, but it is a powerful film, certainly that opens the door to see how men planned for evil and ridicule and laughter, but God planned it for good. It's given Ray a comfort to share the gospel in a way that he otherwise would not have access to individuals, meeting with multiple individuals as a result, and praise be to God that the word goes forth despite the fact that others are seeking to cause harm to him in that regard. Let's go to the phone lines today on Crosstalk. We have Midway, Florida, and Mac is calling in. Hi, Mac. You're on Crosstalk.
Hello. It is a pleasure to talk to Ray Comfort after watching him so many years, him and Kirk Cameron go at it. It's an interesting concept to realize there are people that think they're atheists. They always do believe in some kind of God. You know, it's incredible. Recently, maybe it was Thanksgiving last, that here in the United States, I got into a conversation with my son-in-law's dad, and it was interesting because I said, "Don't you know that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ?" And he looked at me with the wide deer eye look in the headlights, and I said, "Yeah, there's a bema seat and there's a great white throne of judgment, you know." And it actually shut him down for a few seconds because he was proud to know a few verses in Revelation. But it's always shocking to realize a lot of people have no clue. They think they're a Christian and All it is by name only. I don't know. Your thoughts on that would really excite the audience, I'm sure, Ray.
Yeah, I think the number one sin in our nation is not homosexuality or abortion or adultery or blasphemy or fornication, pornography. It's one sin that I think is so important. Most Christians don't even know what it is. But God saw fit to address it in the first two of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, you should not make yourself an image of God you feel comfortable with, a snuggly God you can cuddle up to, a teddy bear, divine butler, a celestial Santa Claus that has no sense of right or wrong, or justice or truth or righteousness. And that was my problem before I was a Christian. I used to pray every night to the God of my own imagination, a place of imagery. Even atheism is rooted in idolatry. The God that Richard Dawkins doesn't believe in doesn't exist. He's created a monster from the Old Testament and says, if that's your God, I don't want to believe in him. But that God doesn't exist. He's a figment of Dawkins' imagination. And if atheists had a correct image of what God is like, the fear of God would come upon them. But because they think he's an old man in the sky reaching out to touch Adam's fingers, they have no fear of God before their eyes. And that's the problem within our churches, too. Many of our popular preachers are nothing but motivational speakers that should have been plumbers or electricians, because they're not sons of thunder in the pulpit, putting the fear of God in the hearts of their congregation. Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it says, through the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And so without that fear of God, which comes by the proclamation of those Ten Commandments, people hold on to their sins, and on Judgment Day they'll be found to be workers of iniquity, that Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So that's where the church needs to get back to thundering out God's law and bringing the knowledge of sin and preparing the heart for grace.
Thank you, Mac.
Well, thank you, too, because there's a lot of people out here supporting you. Thanks again.
Thank you, Mac.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Kathy is calling next from Fairhope, Alabama. Kathy, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Again, I want to also say, yes, it's such a pleasure to talk with Ray after watching him and Kirk battle it out, so to speak. What I wanted to bring up was 2 Peter 3:3, where it says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. Do you believe that atheism's root is just bottom line rebellion against God, because people in the deepest part of them just want to follow their own desires?
Thank you, Kathy.
Yes, you know, when a surgeon operates on us, he doesn't go looking for your heart or your liver or your kidneys or your pancreas. He knows exactly where they've been placed by our Creator, because they're all the same, and the same applies to the soul. every human being is the same. And I know that within the heart of every human being is a will to live. They don't want to die. There's also the knowledge of God, including atheists. I don't believe in atheists because I know the scriptures say God has given light to every man. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, when you look at a building, you know intuitively there was a builder. Even though he could have been dead for 100 years, you know there was a builder because the building's there. You know there was a painter because the painting's there. And every single one of us know there was a creator because of creation. Even if we call it nature, like atheists do, it's utterly impossible for nature to have made itself. Because for nature to make itself, it would have had to be pre-existent to make itself before it made itself, which is scientifically ludicrous. Plus, they not only have the knowledge of God, they have a conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. And so every single atheist has a moral understanding. He's not like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow. He's made in the image of God with a sense of justice and truth and righteousness. And that's why we crave justice. That's why our country spends millions or billions of dollars on justice to seek criminals, because we're made in God's image with a knowledge of right and wrong. So these two thoughts, I always approach an atheist knowing he has a conscience and knowing he knows about God, and so I address his conscience as quickly as I can. I do what Jesus did in Mark 10, verse 17. I take him through the Ten Commandments. If you look at our videos, that happens again and again. It's not my idea. Jesus had that idea, and so did Paul in Romans 2, where he said, "You who say you shall not steal, do you steal? You say you shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery?" Appealing to the conscience, that impartial judge on the courtroom of the mind that accuses when we do wrong. So they're very wonderfully powerful weapons that are not carnal but mighty through God at the pulling down of strongholds. And atheism is a stronghold, but when you use the weapons God's given us, you can see it do a great damage to the kingdom of darkness.
Thank you, Kathy, for the call. We're going to move on to Terry, calling from Duluth, Minnesota. And Terry, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. I just wanted to say thanks to Ray for all his books and movies. They've been a huge resource for me, and I couldn't be where I'm at right now without the Evidence Bible. My question is, with being so famous now, Ray, do you have time to go out and do open-air witnessing still?
Every Saturday for the last 12 years, I go somewhere where I don't want to go to say something I don't want to say to people who don't want to hear it. And it keeps me grounded to get on a soapbox and be heckled by people, and it's wonderful. And you know, you say I'm famous in that, but I'm just an ordinary guy, and God's given me a wonderful platform, and I'll never forget my roots. I've preached in like million-dollar churches, but give me a good open-air day where I'm heckled by an atheist, a crowd of unsaved people are listening to the gospel. That's the most satisfying thing. And I was saying earlier on about a YouTube channel, you know, I'll go to Huntington Beach on a Saturday. I've got a friend that comes with me, Stuart Scott. When an atheist or someone starts heckling me, he gets his camera out, well, his iPhone, and he films it. I had an atheist do that about a year ago. He's an intelligent guy. It's called, I think we call it the Intelligent Atheist. He just filmed it. It's probably 30 or 40 people listening, put it online. Last time I checked, it had something like 810,000 views. So this is a wonderful platform that people like tuning into to see old-fashioned preaching where people can say what they think. And, you know, we don't have a blowhorn yelling at people as they go past. We don't stand with condemning signs. We actually give away money in public to get a crowd. We ask trivia questions. When people get them right, we give them money. And then we say, anyone want to go for $5? If you can prove to be a good person, I'll give you $5. If you don't, I'll still give you $5, but just being a good sport. And it creates goodwill to give away money in public. For a preacher to do that, it's unnatural. It's like water running uphill. But it's a great way to get a crowd, and it's a wonderful way to preach the gospel. And we do that every Saturday at Huntington Beach Pier, and we'll keep doing it until the trumpet sounds.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your call. Ray, I know many have been impacted as well through your ministry, through Ark Encounter as well, who have seen the video there, the presentation, a very powerful presentation.
Oh, that was funny. Ken Ham, who I love very much, he's Australian. He talks kind of funny.
Yeah.
He asked me to give the gospel message. He said, millions of people are going to see this. And so I thought, okay, he wanted me to drive down about 2 hours to San Diego to a studio with 8 cameras where they were going to make a hologram. And so I had these special nice leather boots I was going to wear, and black pants and a nice shirt, a good jacket, because this was a big deal. Hot day, so I wear shorts and sneakers down there, and I forgot my boots when I get there. And I was horrified, so I had to borrow my son-in-law's shoes, and he's bigger shoes than I've got. He's Arab, I'm Jew. And so when you see the filming, realize there's a Jew walking in an Arab shoes as I present the gospel. It was really funny.
Wow. Karen is calling next from Lyonsville, Pennsylvania. Hi, Karen, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to thank Ray for his ministry, for the DVDs and tracks, and to equip people to go out. I never had gone out to witness, and at least not. I stumbled across the YouTube channel, and I just started witnessing. I went and got a lot of the tracks, and I handed out Evolution versus God at the college. They're willing to take them, and then I just appreciate his ministry and all that he does. He helps me to go out and encourages me. So,
oh, that's great. Thank you very much for your kind words, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Jim, a little earlier, someone mentioned the Evidence Bible.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get equipped. It's commanded by Franklin Graham and Rabbi Zacharias, and it's available through livingwaters.com. That has 200 most commonly asked questions of the Christian faith, and it's packed full of apologetical argument, a commentary running through it. It's called the Evidence Bible. It's award-winning, or a finalist in a whatever. So it's livingwaters.com, Evidence Bible.
Okay, again, livingwaters.com. The other website we gave, bananamanstory.com. Let's go next to Brad calling from West Allis, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim.
Hi.
Atheists are irrational. And we know this because, and I'll give you an example right now, because of what they do. They preach to us that there's no heaven and no hell, and when you die, you just rot and go into non-existence as if you never were. And then they turn around and say, we have to believe what they say. Well, if what they say is true, then it doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what anybody believes. So why do they care? If they really believe their belief system, they wouldn't care, because to put forth their belief system as true would be irrational, which it is.
Absolutely, but they'll fight you tooth and nail, because what they're doing is trying to hold on to their pleasures. They see Christianity as a great threat, because we say that pornography is wrong, fornication is wrong, adultery is wrong, homosexuality is wrong, blasphemy is wrong. And so we throw a great big wet blanket over everything they live for. And they think if they become a Christian, they're going to have to become anti-science monks and forsake every pleasure that there is. And it's the exact opposite. When you become a Christian, you embrace science, and you know the one that made all things. And sex isn't a dirty word for a Christian. God made Adam and Eve naked and said, go and be fruitful and multiply. And that's not math. And so scriptures say just, you know, God's given sex, but for procreation in within marriage. And if someone gives you a gift of a car and says, look, this is a gift to your son, you know, your dad gives you a gift, he says, stay on the right side of the road and don't get drunk, don't drink and drive. I mean, that's for your good that he says that. And God's given sex as a gift to humanity. And when we go on the other side of the road and have sex outside of marriage and pervert it, we're doing ourselves great, great damage in this life and in the next. So our message is one of positivity, of freedom, of having a purpose for existence. And I'm so thankful that God intervened in my life 46 years ago, because I was so lost. Wouldn't know it on the outside, but on the inside I was screaming, what is this death thing about? Why am I going to lose everything and love? Life has no purpose or meaning if death comes at the end of it.
Thank you, Brad, for the call. Up against a break, Ray Comfort is our guest. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, in South Africa, we are now seeing the consequences of a socialist worldview. As many of you know, Nelson Mandela was involved in plotting and carrying out attacks on capitalists and Christians in South Africa. He was put into prison and, well, they capitulated to the communists and they let him out, made him a hero, when I and many others believe he should have been executed for capital crimes. That allowed him and his African National Congress to greatly gain strength and power in South Africa. He was nice, just as the Muslims are nice, until they gained the upper hand. And now they have the upper hand, the communists do. And what are they doing?
taking the land of the white Christian farmers, many of them being Christians. And after many are tortured for days, they're murdered, and a Bible is placed on their bodies. This is the fruit of socialism, the stealing of farmers' land. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Rick Comfort back with us today and talking about The Fool. The Fool is certainly a powerful film to remind us that God is at work. The movie reminds us that atheists, though they seek to ridicule and put down and belittle or silence our message, the Lord plans it for good to advance the gospel message. And that's exactly what The Fool does. It's available right now by download going to bananamanstory.com. And, of course, their main website, livingwaters.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Mary Ann calling in from Milwaukee. Hi, Mary Ann. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. And thanks, Ray, for all your good work. I really enjoy watching you and your fellow witnessers there. I called because I lighted on the word bibliophile at the beginning of the program, and when I had my college English, I ran across it, and I looked up my old Webster's, and it says that a bibliophile is one who loves or collects books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that, putting two and two together, you witnessed to possibly this atheist who, while holding up the book of, you know, God's Word of Truth, and maybe telling him it has 66 inspired books of God's Word. And so he just, you know, probably in his ignorance, just called you, you know, derogatorily a bibliophile.
Yeah, I can handle it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary Ann, for the call.
Thank you, Mary Ann.
Let's go to Sarasota, Florida. And Cy, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim Schneider, Rick Hunter. My first thought is that I would much prefer to be called a fool for Jesus than a wise man for Satan.
Mm.
Next thought, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ray Comfort, is touching that term banana man, and you should say that's Mr. Banana Man. That's Mr. Banana Man to you.
Well. And Ray, one thing that you're seeking to do, of course, is to build rapport and respect with the atheists that you have encountered. You're not seeking to put down. You certainly want them to be thinking about their eternal destiny.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all that matters. And we often I send them gifts, and you know, there was a young lady in the film that just railed against me with every word out of the book. We had to take it out, but she was just very angry. And I noticed she had made another video just recently, and she mocked one of our movies. It was Christmas Gone Viral that we produced, and she said, Ray Comfort, and she used a bad word beginning with F, hates me. And so I sent her a gift from my wife and myself, a $100 gift card, saying, I don't hate you. And then she made another video that was watched by 118,000 people, and she was just about crying. And she says, he doesn't hate me. And it's just the love that we have is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And just to love someone and buy them a gift is better than an argument. I mean, one hamburger can speak louder than 1,000 sermons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an atheist, just say, hey, come and let me buy you lunch, and let's chew over and see what you're thinking. And let him eat, fill his mouth up, and while his mouth is full, you can share the gospel with him.
Yeah, and that's even the message you portray in Audacity as well.
Yes, yeah, I mean, when you and I as Christians are kind to each other, you know, Christians give each other like $50, you know, this will help out, blah, blah, blah. We don't think twice about it. But if you do that to an atheist, it's like life-changing.
Yeah.
Someone did something for me. They showed me they love me. They're very kind. You know, I was on a show yesterday, I think it was. It was two atheists, a Muslim and a professing Christian. And the atheist, one of the atheist girls, she was so frustrated. They said, she's gone out the studio to have a cigarette outside. She's so mad. And then she came back in, and they said, she's got some questions for you. Uh-oh, 30 seconds. We can't have time for questions. Ray, push what you like, websites, whatever. I said, I don't want to push any websites. I want to talk to that young lady. And I said, I really care about you. And I said, just seek after God. He'll show himself. He's faithful. And then I said her name, and I said, I love you. And I heard her in the studio say, I love you too, Ray. Hmm. And it was so powerful. So if you're a Christian, let your light shine. Let your love shine. Let men see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because often we tend to preach when we should just be practically showing people we love them as well.
Amen. Thank you, Cy, for the call. Ray Comfort, our guest today. Ray, we've got have just 2 minutes left, but you told me that your dog is an evangelistic tool.
He's the most powerful evangelistic tool I've got. And let me tell you why. I was took him for a ride on my bike, holding a leash, running beside the bike. He got tired because he's 7 years old now. He's a Bichon Frise, white, big, fluffy face. Picked him up and carried him for about half a mile, and my arm was aching. So I built a platform on my bike, and then I decided it was unfair for me to wear sunglasses when I'm riding a bike. So I put sunglasses on him using elastic. And so every day we go out together. He's on the front of my bike on a platform, and he's got sunglasses as I have. And cars honk their horns, people come running out of their house, people want their pictures. Ladies I don't even know call out, how cute, and I say, yeah, the dog's nice too. And I get to witness to some, every day I get to witness to people and film them because a dog wearing sunglasses is totally disarming. How can a guy be crazy if he's got a dog wearing sunglasses? So every day I get to witness to people using my dog as an icebreaker. Mm. So he's very evangelistic. Every day he's saying, can we go out? Can we go out? Can we? He cares about the loss, so I go out many times because he's hounding me.
Pun intended. Ray, yes. Comfort, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Ray, again, here, give us the website, how our listeners can download this and make a powerful impact in the ministry there, even in advancing the gospel.
Yes, bananamanstory.com, that's for the download, and this is for the evidence Bible and tracks, etc., and free videos, livingwaters.com.
Ray Comfort, our guest today, and Ray, thanks for carving out the time. I know you've got many demands, and we appreciate you joining our listeners here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim.
And friends, keep in mind, The Fool is indeed a powerful film, and though they use this to mock and to scoff and to ridicule and to put down Ray Comfort, thinking to somehow make his message of none effect, it has actually provided a platform for the gospel to go where otherwise it would not have gone. That's all documented in The Fool. It's available right through their website right now for download, we'd encourage you certainly to watch that and see how it impacts your life as well. Thanks for tuning in to Crosstalk here on VCY America as we talk about the issues, but there's no greater issue, folks, than to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our life is but a vapor. Eternity is forever. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.